Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the 15th chapter of the book of Joshua, as we continue our study of this chapter in a slightly different way than we have been. In our last study together, we suggested to you that we were going to think about the information in the latter part of Joshua chapter 15 from the standpoint of the spiritual lessons to be learned in the names of the various cities which were given to the tribe of Judah. We mentioned to you that these cities were presented to us in four divisions. They were presented in one division of nine cities to begin with. We have noticed six of those nine cities. The first division of three, dealing, because of the names of the cities, with the sovereignty of God. The second division of three, because of the meanings of the names of the cities, dealing with the fact that God is not only sovereign, but God is Savior as well. And as we continue today, I hope you are noticing the beauty of the order found in this chapter. Israel, chosen through the sovereignty of God to be the channel for his oracles, but before he could use them fully and completely, there must be an acknowledgement of Christ as Savior. And if we want to make application to our own hearts, we remember that according to Paul's words in Ephesians, every one of us here, every one of us were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. But chosen as we were, we could not enjoy the blessings of the Lord until the time when we were redeemed, until the time when we were purchased with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereignty of God, and then the Saviorhood of God. And if I were to ask you what I'm going to talk about next, I wonder how many of you would recognize the correlation. I think you will when I present it, because the three go together: sovereign, Savior, sanctifier. And it is interesting to me that the three cities in the last group of the first division should emphasize the sanctifying ministry of God in relation to his people. Now, you know that the word sanctify means to make holy. It means to set apart. It means to make different. Isn't it interesting that the last cities here in this first division of nine tell the story? The city of Kadesh means sanctuary. The city of Hazor means enclosure. The city of Ithnon means spread abroad. And what has all of this to do with the sanctifying power of the Lord, the setting apart of God? Well, let us think for a moment. God set Israel apart to himself. He became their sanctuary. He became their hiding place. That's the reason David could say so often in the Psalms, God is my refuge and my strength and my very present help in times of trouble. For these whom he took to himself for refuge, he built an enclosure, a fence around them, so that they would be separated and apart from the rest of the world. Of course, you are familiar, I trust, with those passages of Scripture which speak of God planting a vine in a very fruitful hill, and then planting a hedge about the vineyard to keep out the prowlers who would come in and destroy the vine. And you remember that because the vine did not produce the fruit that was expected of it, God permitted the hedge to be broken down, and the wolves came in, and the foxes came in, and the wild animals came in, and destroyed the vine as far as production was concerned. That is the story of Israel. God selected her for himself. He built an enclosure about her and planted a vine that spread abroad throughout the whole territory, for Israel one day was a fruitful vine, and in the mercy of God, she will be a fruitful vine again. Now, you will keep in mind that there is a parallel of thought between Israel, the wife of Jehovah, and the church, the bride of Christ. We can draw spiritual lessons and make spiritual applications to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from this passage of Scripture as well, noticing that if we are going to be what the Lord would have us to be, we are going to have to be set apart for Him. That's the reason why Paul said in his Corinthian letter that we should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That is the reason why he said in his 2 Corinthian letter that we should come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing, and gave promise God would be a father to us and we would be his children. There is a need for setting apart. Thus the first division of the list of cities, numbering 9, divided into groups of 3, the number of the Trinity, presents the story of God the Sovereign, Christ the Savior, and the Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier. Now, if I were to ask you what was the first thing that happened to Israel after they were redeemed from Egypt, I wonder what your answer would be. If I were to ask you what is the first thing that a Christian faces after he is born again, what would your answer be? Well, let me suggest the answer and see how close you would have come had you the opportunity to give the answer. The first thing that happened to Israel after Israel was redeemed from Egypt was that she went into the wilderness where she was tested for 40 years. And what's the first thing that normally happens to a believer after he comes to know Christ as Savior? He enters a period of testing, doesn't he? He goes into the wilderness. That's the reason why so many Christians whose assurance for salvation is not based upon God's word immediately thinks that they have become unsaved. The devil makes the attack, and they don't know how to handle it. They are defeated, and the life which was supposed to be full of milk and honey is full of the brambles and the briars of a wilderness experience. I believe it is more than by mere accident that the 5 cities in the second division speak of the wilderness testing of Israel and describe the testing through which all Christians go. The first city which is mentioned in the second division, the group of 5, is the city of Ziph, which means a place of refining. Now, what was it that the Holy Spirit said through the pen of the Apostle Peter concerning the matter of refining? Do you remember? He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Well, that's our normal reaction, isn't it? When the tests come and the trials come, we say, "Why is this happening to me? What have I done?" Well, beloved, it isn't a strange thing at all. It's to be expected. That is what Peter said. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And he goes on to say the reason for the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though your faith is tried with fire, it shall come out purified and refined. What was the purpose of the wilderness testing for Israel? That all who could not go into Canaan would die in the wilderness, getting rid of the dross. And this happens as soon as God chooses us, as soon as God saves us, as soon as God sets us apart for Himself. The refining process begins. The second city, Telem, means oppression. And of course, that's part of the test. If you are going to be tested by fire, the fire has to be hot enough, or the impurities will not be burned out. If you are going to be tested by pressure, the pressure has to be great enough, or the metal will not have the strength to withstand the weight that will be put upon it when it begins to be used. And so, the oppressions come, and you wonder, and I wonder why they do, why the tests, Why the oppression? And oftentimes we feel as though we may be the only ones who are so tested, the only ones so oppressed. And we may feel that way because in many instances, that's the way it appears. In a given group, some may be tested more than others. In a given association, some may be facing greater burdens than others. And sometimes it seems as though certain individuals have all the tests. The oppressions come. But do you see the next city that is listed in the group of five? I'm glad that it's included, because sometimes we get to the place where we just can't stand anymore, don't we? And we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I just can't take anymore. You've just got to lift the burden. And he does, because he has given promise. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. No testing is taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He is able. He will, with the testing, make a way of escape. And that's the reason why I like this third city here, Beeloth. It means on the ascent. What does it mean? It means you are going up out of the pit. We have a good everyday expression for this sort of thing, don't we? We talk about being down in the dumps. Sometimes we say, I'm so low, I have to reach up to touch bottom. Have you ever been that low? Well, you might not like to admit it, but sooner or later you will be if you haven't. I'm so glad there's a way out. And I would like to emphasize the wisdom of the Spirit of God in the choice of words here, the word ascent, because the way out is the way up. And there is no other way. We try to find other ways and means, and we fail. What are we going to find when we do get out of the pit on the way up? Well, this next city, Hazor. What does it mean? New enclosure. Isn't that wonderful? We enter into a new relationship with God. The hedge is round about us once again, but it's a new enclosure, a new experience, a new relationship. When you and I properly respond to the trials which God permits to come our way, we are in a new relationship to Him. There are things to be learned in the school of suffering that can be learned no other way. That's the reason why we should count it all joy when we fall into divers testings, knowing that these testings will bring us into a new and a blessed relationship with God that we have not experienced before. May it be so in your life, is my prayer.